Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, welcome back. Today, I'm going to take a look at a question that I think we've all contemplated at some point. If you've played the Fallout games long enough, you start having these questions that pop up in your head. Things like, how many people survived the bombs? And this isn't the kind of question that you can just look up a wiki for and get a flat answer, because in Fallout, the characters don't necessarily know the answer to this question. And how could they? They don't have an internet. They don't have long-range travel capabilities. Nobody is surveying the planet, except for maybe the Zaytans. But with a little bit of research and some math and a little bit of science knowledge, I think we can at least get an estimate. And we can answer the question, how many people will survive the bombs? And I'm going to find out numbers for both international and in the United States, because the United States, of course, is the main focus of the Fallout games. So let's do some math and a little bit of research and see what we find out. So in order to get a final number, we have to do a little bit of math here, and we have to ask a series of questions to get all the data we need in order to put it all together and figure out what actually the answer to this question is. So first, we have to start with the question, how many people were alive in 2077? And as I stated earlier, we're going to have to make some assumptions here because we don't have the exact numbers from anywhere in the existing lore. And because we're making assumptions, we're not going to end up with an exact precise number, but we're going to end up with, generally speaking, maybe a range, or at least a potential number. So let's think about it. In 2077, the world is different than our world, but of course, our world, it's only 2024 as I'm recording this right now. So we don't know necessarily what our world will be like in 2077, but we do know that the world of Fallout really starts to diverge from our reality in the 1960s-ish. And I did previous episodes of the show about when exactly things diverged, and there are multiple points in the history. But for the most part, our current day world is pretty different from the existing Fallout world in 2024. We have technology in our world that miniaturized things. We're not relying so much on nuclear tech. But culturally, that world is derivative of this world. We are dealing with a lot of the same world issues. We are trying to solve a lot of the same problems. And so I think we can make some assumptions. The world of the 1960s in both our reality and the Fallout reality should be pretty close together. So what was the population of that time? Well, according to worldbank.org, there were 3 billion people on the planet in 1960, which is kind of bonkers when you think about it, because our population today is closer to 8 billion. In fact, according to the worldometer.info site, it is currently 8.2 billion people. So it more than doubled, almost tripled in a time frame of, what, about 64 years? That is a significant increase in population. And so our world today in 2024, we have to compare to the world of Fallout in 2024. What was that world like? And in actuality, it isn't that different. Oh, hold your comments till the end. I mean, there are some significant differences, for sure. But when you tally up all the things that the people in the world of Fallout have gone through and the things that we've gone through in our own world, I think we'll find a lot of similarities. For example, they were dealing with pandemics. We just recently dealt with a pandemic. They were dealing with war and all of the things that normally happen in the world. And sadly, those things are normal. War never changes. And we've been dealing with the same things. We are still dealing with war and famine and viral contagions and all sorts of things. So I would say that chances are the change in population from the 1960s to 2020s is about the same in both locations. So if in 2024 in the world of Fallout, it's about 8 billion people, then what is the trajectory to 2077 look like? Well, I think it's safe to assume that the population should be growing at roughly the same rate. So now I have to do some research around what the population will be in our world in the 2070s. Well, I've found a number of articles about population growth and expectations. And of course, these are all projections. There is the high projection and then the low projection and then the average. And I'm going to take the average that I found here on the Population Matters website. And according to that website, the world population actually slows down. The growth slows down over the next few decades. So the world almost triples in population between the 1960s and the 2020s. It doesn't do the same thing by a long shot in the projections. Between 2024 and the 2070s, the population is expected to be somewhere between 10 and 11 billion people. And yes, that is a lot of people, but it is not a doubling of the number. If that was the case, we would go from like 8 billion to 16 billion, or a tripling of the number into the 20s. No, 10 to 11 billion people worldwide by the 2070s. And the world of Fallout, let's give it its dues. It is a little bit more tragic, hopefully, than our own world over the next 50 years. We don't know for sure, but I think it's probably safe to say that the conflict and the struggles that the world of Fallout will go through in the next 50 years are probably more severe than what we will go through on our planet. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. Hopefully that is the case, that our reality stays more peaceful and less struggling with war and pandemics and things like that than the Fallout world dealt with. So let's go with the bottom end of that projection. Let's go with 10 billion people, not 11 billion people. And we'll start there. So we have a number, world population, 10 billion. Now we're also going to be solving for how many people in the United States survive the bombs, because of course that's a major focus in the games. But it's also very interesting because the United States, we know the most about. We know that there are vaults. We know that major cities were targeted. All of these details are solid facts in the lore, or at least some of the details around those things are solid. For example, we don't know an exact number of vaults. We don't know an exact number of people that went in the vaults. So we're going to have to make some projections there. But let's start talking about the U.S. population. Today, the U.S. population is around 300 million people, probably a little bit more. And just like the world population projections, it will not grow at the same rate as it previously did. Everything will slow down, especially in Western post-industrial developed economy kinds of countries. And that definitely is the United States. So from 300 million population to the year 2077, where the projections show about 370 million on kind of the low end. So let's just take that number, 370 million people in the United States in 2077, and about 10 billion people worldwide. So let's talk about the bombs, because that's the next element here. We have an understanding of the population. How many people in that population will be affected by the bombs? And in order to understand that, we have to understand how the bombs work and how the bombing happened in Fallout. One of the things we discussed in one of the previous episodes where I talked about the nukes is that this world, in our own world, we have very large nuclear bombs, but in the Fallout world, they use smaller nukes in greater numbers. We have evidence of this in both the bombings of some of the locations that we visit in the games, but also in the TV show. We actually see the scene where LA is bombed and different parts of the city are nuked. In fact, the scene where the bombs start to go off, it starts with a main bomb in the middle of downtown. But then you can see a number of other explosions throughout the city. We also have to understand what happens when a nuke goes off. The first thing that happens is the explosion, the actual destructive explosive force of the bomb. And that hits within a certain range. It basically obliterates any of the buildings or people right close to the detonation site. People and objects near the center of the explosion get basically obliterated. They're just disintegrated by the heat and the force of the explosion. And then as you move out from the central point of the explosion, you end up having destruction due to the great force of the explosion. The actual blast wave hits everybody and will then destroy basically buildings and human beings again. It will knock over structures and do a lot of terrible, terrible things. And then outside of that, you have the radiation fallout from the explosion, which is kind of a secondary thing. Too much radiation too quickly will destroy biological life forms like human beings. So even if you didn't get burned to a crisp or blasted into the wall next to you, you might die from radiation. And that's an even bigger zone. And that zone expands as the bomb turns into dust and gas in the atmosphere, and that gets blown in a direction. So the radiation fallout isn't just a circular shape around the detonation zone of the bomb, like the heat and the blast radius. It actually turns into kind of a line, depending on which way the wind is blowing and how the weather is that day. And so that reaches an even greater range of human beings who happen to be in the zone around that explosion. And you multiply all of this across multiple smaller nukes that are spaced out in a way where they hit the majority of the city. And now we're at an estimated 90%+ of humans in any urban area that was hit are most likely not going to survive. And that number is huge. But with that many explosions going off and that many bombs in every major urban center in the United States, and that is a huge number of people. All right, so let's review real quick. The United States has 370 million people, roughly, by the 2070s. Most of those people live in urban centers. Currently, the stat is 80% of the population lives in an urban environment. 20% of the population lives in a rural environment. This is very different than it would have been, say, 50 or 100 years ago. And I'm guessing that those numbers are still roughly the same by the 2070s. So let's put it all together. We have 370 million people. We have 90% of them in urban areas will be killed by the bombs. And of that 370 million people, 80% of them live in urban environments. So now we can start doing the math. So what is 80% of 370 million people? How many people live in an urban environment? That total is 296 million people. That is a lot of people. So then if only 90% of them will survive, how many of them survive and how many are dead? Well, of the 296 million people, 266,400,000 don't survive. That only leaves 29,600,000 survivors from urban environments. And this is just survivors. This isn't people who are hurt or in seriously terrible situations where they may not even live for the next year. We'll get to that, because the thing about nuclear bombs is that they don't just kill you with the explosion, the heat, and the radiation. They also will set off nuclear winter if there's enough of them. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We have another number to figure out here. What about the rural environments? If 80% of the population lives in cities, then 20% of the population lives in small towns and much more remote areas of the country. So what percentage of them will survive? Well, I don't have any actual numbers for that, but I think we can make some fair estimations. If most of the bombs are targeted towards urban environments and military installations, then the number that are targeted towards rural places, smaller towns, farmland, things like that, is probably pretty low. My guess is that most of the people in rural places aren't going to be directly targeted, but they will be affected by things like the radiation on the winds of the bombs that land nearby, like I explained earlier, or nukes that go off of their intended target and accidentally hit in other locations, or military installations that happen to be in urban areas and get nuked also. So I think it's safe to say that about 20% of people from rural environments will not survive the initial bombs being dropped. And again, we're only talking right after the bombs drop. We're not talking a year, 10 years, 20 years, 200 years later. We're just talking about right at the moment of the bombs dropping and within a very short period of time. So if 20% of that population, the rural population, survives, what are the numbers? Well, we know that the rural population is 20% of the total. The total was 270 million. So about 74 million people live in rural areas. If 20% of them are killed, that means 14,800,000 people are killed from rural environments. That means that 59,200,000 survive. So now we understand the number of people who survive in urban environments and rural environments, and we can add them together. We have 29,600,000 urban, 59,200,000 rural left alive. That total is 88,800,000 survivors of the initial attack. But you might be thinking something else. You might be thinking, hey, Tom, what about the vaults? There were vaults. Remember? They were preparing for this. Some percentage of the population actually got underground and managed to survive through the vaults. So what's that number? Well, I've got that. And we need to talk about nuclear winter. No, not the PvP thing in Fallout 76 that got canceled. The actual post-bomb fallout and its effect on the population. And we'll get to that after the mid-break, so don't go anywhere.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting the show. And thank you, huge thanks to our patrons, all 113 of you currently. Thank you for your support. And thank you to Max at Max.com. That's their name here. It also sounds like a website for signing up on the Patreon. Welcome. So glad that you are here. If you are interested in becoming a supporter, in getting ad-free episodes and all sorts of other stuff, I even have some gameplay episodes that are only on the Patreon and a bunch of other things, t-shirts and stickers and joining us for patron chats, all of that at patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Go check it out. Also, I would normally read out the reviews, but for some reason, the website that I use to check all of the reviews and get all the international ones and all of that stuff doesn't seem to be working over the last few days. I know they're working on it. There's a little note, but I'll have to get back to that in the future. But what that means is you got time to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so I can read it out on a future episode. You can also rate the show on Spotify or wherever else you listen. You can also share it with your friends. In fact, that would be amazing. If you play Fallout 76 with other people, you have other friends that are into Fallout, and you want to just shout out the show a little bit, that would be so helpful. Thank you for all your support. Let's get back to the rest of the show, because we got to talk about the final numbers coming up. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, so we have a total number of survivors in the U.S. 88.8 million people will most likely survive the initial attack. That's just the initial attack. This has nothing to do with a year later after nuclear winter sets in and food becomes scarce, because that's what happens when you blot out the sun. Everything gets cold, there's not enough sunlight, and the food that you would normally be growing no longer grows. And that becomes a huge problem. Well, at least it's a huge problem for the people on the surface. The survivors in the vaults, though, there's a different story there. So we have to ask another question. How many people were in the vaults? And we have some numbers. The Fallout TV show states that there are over 100 vaults, which seems to be true. The numbering goes up well above 100. So we can assume on the low end that there's at least 100 functioning vaults. The next question then is how many people are in each vault? And I did some research about this as well. The number that seems to be floating around, based on the average number of occupants of the vaults that we are aware of, is only 220. That is the average. Now, of course, that number could be wrong. There might be vaults with lots of people that we are unaware of that would skew that average up. There may be significantly more than 100 active vaults. We don't really know. But if we take 100 and multiply it by 220 on average occupants, that only means 22,000 vault dwellers were in the vaults at the time of the bombs dropping. Now, of course, there are other variabilities here. For example, there may have been people who couldn't get in the vaults who were meant to be there. There may have been people who were sneaking into the vaults who weren't supposed to be there. But I think we can take these numbers as kind of a rough middle of the road estimate here. Now, if there were 200 vaults total, of course, that number would double. We would have 44,000 vault dwellers. But if we compare that to the number of survivors on the surface, either way, if it's 22,000, if it's 44,000, if it's 100,000, that number is actually very small because the total number of survivors on the surface right now is 88.8 million. So even if this number was 200,000, it would only push the number up to 89 million total anyway. It's a very, very small percentage of the population and still a small percentage of the population that survives from the surface. So if we add those two numbers together, we end up with 88,822,000 survivors, with the vast majority of them on the surface. And this brings up the next issue. What about nuclear winter? So if we can say that 88,822,000, at least that number, survived the initial dropping of the bombs, how many people survived a year, 2 years, 5 years later? That number is going to come way down, because nuclear winter is when all of the dirt and dust and all of the things that the bombs obliterated on the surface gets tossed into the air, into the atmosphere. It creates a dark layer of clouds that sit above the other clouds. They're lighter, and they sit up in the atmosphere in a place where they will hang out for a significant period of time. And with that many bombs being dropped over the United States and most likely other locations, including China and some other places, that's going to be plenty for nuclear winter to set in. And so that means, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, the sun will be blotted out. The population will decline extremely steeply for the people on the surface, because they will have a hard time getting food. What is that percentage? Well, the estimates that I have found say 98% of the population or more will starve within the first year. And that is extremely scary. So let's look at our number of wastelanders on the surface, 88,800,000. And you reduce that by 98%. Now you only have 1 million, and get this, 776,000. It's kind of a convenient number, that survive on the surface. That's still a lot more than the people in the vaults. And it's still a significant amount of survivors, enough to eventually repopulate. But we have now gone from 370 million people in the United States to, a year after the bombs drop, we're down to 1,776,000 people on the surface, with another 22,000 in the vaults. So I feel like we've solved the number for the United States. This would be an extreme reduction in the population. And probably we will see both in the United States and China the largest drop in population due to them being the location of most of the bombs and where the bombs would target. But that doesn't mean that the rest of the world isn't affected. So let's take a look at that world number. We estimated about 10 billion people on the planet in the 2070s. And of course, we don't know all of the locations that will get bombed. We don't know population center populations. In fact, I'm not even calculating the expected population of China, although that should be a significant number of people because it's going to be way higher than the United States. What we can do to get really close to this number, because it affects everybody so extremely, is to look at how nuclear winter will affect most of the planet. Now, you might be thinking, we can probably just take that 98% number and apply it to the entire planet, but that's not actually true. According to a Live Science article I found, it's only about 63% of the world population that would be killed if nuclear war took place in the Northern Hemisphere between, for example, the United States and China, or the United States and Russia. And why is that? Well, it has to do with how all the dust would be kicked up into the atmosphere. For the most part, most of the nukes will go off in the Northern Hemisphere. And yes, the Northern Hemisphere is more highly populated than the Southern Hemisphere. And yes, the winds will spread the radiation and, more importantly, all of the soot and dust across most of the planet. But that will take some time. Most of the Northern Hemisphere will be blotted out, and a lot faster than anywhere on the Southern Hemisphere. And yes, you can argue that places like Australia may be bombed as well, places like South America, but we don't know the specifics about it. So we have to assume that the majority of the nuclear winter will affect the Northern Hemisphere in a way that is much more severe than it will in the Southern Hemisphere. So according to this website, 63% of the population will be killed. So what does that mean? Well, we take 10 billion people and we kill 63% of them. That's 6.3 billion people. That means that 3.7 billion people do survive. Now, once you take into consideration the population centers that were hit in China especially and the United States, that number will be significantly less. The other number that we may want to consider is how the actual global calorie production will be affected. And according to that, the number is 90% reduction. So only 10% of the calories would still be available based on what we could actually grow with our current technology and all of that. So if 3.7 billion people, roughly, and let's just chop that number off a little bit for the number of people, especially in the urban centers of China and the United States. So let's say after that, because China's population is very, very large, we have 2 billion people left on the surface. Those 2 billion people only get 10% of the food that was originally available. 10% of the food only supplies enough for 1 billion people. You throw in some worst case situations, more places getting nuked than we thought, and that number could be as low as 500 million people globally. So what do we have here? We have a nuclear war that reduces the population of the United States down to 1,776,000 survivors on the surface, and 22,000 vault dwellers down in the vaults. And the world population would be reduced to somewhere between 1 billion on the high end and 500 million on the low end survivors. The United States population will take a huge hit. The Chinese population, of course, would take an even bigger hit. And I'll have to get into that maybe in a future episode. We'll figure out those numbers. But across the planet, we will go from 10 billion people down to one, or maybe a half. So what does that sound like to you? To me, that still seems like a significant number of people, especially in the countries that weren't targeted by the bombs. I have to wonder, what does the population of the planet then look like in locations that aren't primary targets? Does it give places like Africa a chance to increase the population faster than other Western countries, for example? How does that work? Let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks for tuning in for another episode, and I'll see you again next week. We're going to have a special guest, and I'm looking forward to it. So stay safe out there and try not to set off international nuclear war. I think we'd all appreciate it. See you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.